from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working with students and families to improve college access and student success for a better West Virginia. West Virginia University, online at wvu.edu.
Good evening, I'm Andrea Lanham, and welcome to the Legislature Today from the Capitol Building in Charleston. Conferees from the Senate and House are meeting for the first time this afternoon following their appointment Saturday night to work out their differences in a salary bill for teachers, school personnel, and other state employees. The Senate agreed on a 4% pay raise for all state workers, but the House supported the 5% increase backed by Governor Jim Justice for teachers, school service personnel, and state troopers. It's day 8 of the statewide teacher walkout, which has captured national attention and national press, and their unions continue to say they won't go back until a 5% pay raise is secured. Again, thousands of teachers protested here at the Capitol, several stopping lawmakers in hallways for often heated remarks. Russ Barber talked to a couple of teachers who have spent several days protesting here.
My name is Brian Locke. I'm from Logan Middle School, and I'm here to get the legislative body to do their jobs and help support all teachers, service personnel, and every state employee in West Virginia.
Hi, I'm Allison Bixler representing Jefferson County Schools. I drove over 6.5 hours yesterday to be here to witness the conferee committee deliberate and hopefully finally agree on the 5% raise for school personnel and state troopers.
Logan County has been absolutely amazing. When I'm down there picketing or if I'm up at the Capitol, we're getting support from all around the state, and not just in West Virginia as well, but nationwide we're getting support. Internationally we're getting support, and I'm very, very happy with everyone supporting public education, and I hope that it continues for the sake of our kids.
I go to Ranson Elementary School in Ranson, West Virginia, which is in Jefferson County. We are the easternmost county in West Virginia, and we are literally miles away from Virginia and Maryland, where teachers can go and make upwards of $20,000 a year more in salary.
The West Virginia Education Association, the American Federation of Teachers, and the West Virginia School Service Personnel Association said in a joint statement this weekend they were angry and disappointed. Joining us now is Bob Brown of the AFT West Virginia chapter. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for allowing me to be here.
So just tell us, what's the latest so far?
Well, as we speak, frankly, directly above us in this building, the conference committee from both, made up of three members of the House and three members of the Senate, are meeting to try to work out the differences between the House version of the pay bill, which was 5%, and the Senate version of the pay bill, which is 4%.
Now, Saturday was kind of a chaotic day. What was your reaction to some of the developments with the Senate approving a reduction of 4% compared to 5%?
Well, I've been here a long time. This is probably my 37th or 38th year. I've never seen anything that happened like happened on the Senate floor late Saturday night. But putting that aside, essentially what the Senate did was take the deal that the governor had negotiated with us and then had passed the House 98-1 and reduced that by 1% from 5% down to 4%.
When I talked to the West Virginia Education Association president, he had said previously, why not raise everyone, including state employees, up to 5% instead of lowering teachers, school personnel, and state police to 4%? Did you have that same thought as well?
That's the reasonable thing to do. I mean, why not do that? Why would you want to drag someone down and reduce someone's raise or salary that's already been approved overwhelmingly by the House? Why not bring state employees up? It costs $12.5 million more added into the budget to raise state employees up to 5% as well. Why can't we do that? We have a $4.3 billion budget. Surely we can find $12 million to equalize everyone at 5% rather than down to 4%.
I know in talking to some of the Senate majority, they said earlier that they didn't believe there's enough revenue to raise everybody to 5%.
Well, I was here last year when the governor, at the very last minute, raised revenue estimates by $133 million, and now they don't want to accept a raise of $58 million? Come on, they're playing games right now. We literally have two people right above us who are stopping our children from going back to school tomorrow. And if we get it out of the committee at 5%, we probably have 18 or 19 people on the floor who are holding 250,000 students out of school tomorrow. We can fix this. If there's a will to do it, there's a way to do it.
Do you think the AFT or any of the other associations would accept anything other than 5% if the committee came back with like 4.5%?
No, we in good faith put together a deal with the governor. It had four prongs. The other three are put away. We're down to salary. Once again, the governor is standing by the 5%. The House is standing by the 5%. It's time for the Senate to step up.
There's also been some comments from the Senate president, too, that he believes that these revised revenue estimates should be dedicated to PEIA instead of this pay raise bill. Do you think the money should be dedicated to PEIA instead? Or
why would we throw $58 million into a system that everyone recognizes is broken? It's been frozen or a moratorium placed on that for the next 16 months. Why would we park $58 million in a trust fund for 16 months while we're trying to figure out what to do with PEIA when we could put it in people's pockets? We think it's better spent putting it in people's pockets. So we would be opposed to putting that $58 million in the PEIA trust.
Now, schools are already closing throughout the state. I'm not sure what the current count is, but I know there's quite a few already. The West Virginia Education Association president previously said that until the legislature passes this 5% pay raise bill, that the walkout continues.
Well, the members have made it clear they're not going back until the Senate honors the deal that the governor's already honored and the House has honored. The real tragedy here is this conference committee could have been meeting yesterday. That's the real tragedy. I was here all day yesterday looking for them to meet. They chose not to meet. They could have met this morning. This could have been resolved in time to get schools open tomorrow. But as you point out, superintendents can't wait until 10 o'clock tonight when this may work its way through the floor to have schools open. So it's just a real tragedy that the folks in the Senate didn't want to come to the table yesterday and fix this.
Do you foresee a resolution happening soon?
I hope so. I'm the eternal optimist. I think at the end of the day, we're going to end up with 5%. But there's no use to keep delaying. Let's get it on. Come up with the $12.5 million, raise the state employees up to 5%, and let's close this deal and go home.
Well, Bob Brown with American Federation of Teachers West Virginia, thank you so much for joining us
tonight.
Thank
you. My pleasure.
As we mentioned at the top of the program, conferees will work out the salary bill, were named Saturday night, but didn't gather until just a few hours ago. As we hear next, that was the subject of a heated exchange in the Senate today.
A couple comments, because I've talked to a lot of people over the last couple days about this situation with our teachers. And what people can't understand, what I can't explain, is where is the sense of urgency to resolve this and get our kids back in school? Where is the sense of urgency to get our kids back in school? I just don't understand why we don't have a greater sense of urgency. Mr. President, I would like to see this resolved today. Can we please try to resolve this today? It's gone on long enough.
Giving to the rich and allowing it to trickle down does not work. And we're faced with that same question today, that same basic difference in philosophy. Putting money in the hands of working people and letting them spend it in our economy and creating demand is what will cause rich companies and rich people to create jobs. Cutting taxes and services doesn't work.
The eyes of the nation are upon us. The eyes of this nation are upon you. I will tell you right now during lunchtime, we're going to have a lot of teachers out here that are going to be eating pizzas. And those pizzas are coming from money sent from San Francisco. The eyes of the nation are upon us. And right now, they are seeing how the working class citizens in our state are being treated. I'm going to tell you right now, we need to care more about the citizens of West Virginia than we care about campaign contributions. Because that's what's going on.
To take the remark that I'm insulted to think that I'm taking money from the gas company. Do you honestly think that after my sponsorship of Bill 360, the gas company's going to give me any money? I've torn them apart with that bill. My plea today, members of the Senate and those listening in, is that we quit digging in our heels and get to the point that we can turn around and get an end to this crisis as quickly as possible. And that means it's going to take compromise on all sides, not just one side, not just two sides, but all sides. And we will find a solution to this problem and get the teachers back in the classroom where they belong and get our children back in school so they can get their education. Thank you, Mr. President.
Joining us now are West Virginia Public Broadcasting reporters Molly Bourne and Dave Mistich. Well, Molly, we just heard about some of the exchange that happened in the Senate. Just talk to me about the atmosphere over at the House today.
Sure, yeah. I'd say it was a tense scene there. There were a few lawmakers who were suggesting that we ought to recess for the day in the House so the conference committee would have some time to maybe get their work done earlier than they initially planned at 4 o'clock today. That didn't ultimately happen. But you could tell that there was, again, teachers in the galleries, still that groundswell of sentiment that we want to get this done.
Now, I was over in the Senate, and of course, there was Senator Smith and Unger, and today they called for respect in their chamber. So let's take a listen to what they had to say today.
I want to touch, you know, it bothered me what went on here Saturday night. You know, it looked like a circus, but that's because we made it look like a circus. Now, we can say what we want to. We all had clown hats on Saturday night. It was a human error, a human mistake, not by any of us here on purpose, not by any staff on purpose. When you rush things, try to rush. You have mistakes.
Article 12, Section 1 of the West Virginia Constitution, where it says, the legislature shall provide, by general law, a thorough and efficient free education school system. Well, that's definitely not happening here. And that's the one we take an oath to, uphold the Constitution. And that article is clearly not being demonstrated by this body, by holding out, by delaying and trying to divide the people of West Virginia. Mr. President, I would ask that 4145 come out of the conference committee. We all know the game with that played. It needs the majority of each chamber to agree in order for it to come out. I sure hope there isn't a plan to delay it any further, that all the conferees would agree to the 5%. And let's get it down here today. Let's not adjourn, let's recess.
Now, Dave, can you give us kind of a refresher course on conference committees, like how long it takes for them to make a decision? And it doesn't require a simple majority, does it?
It doesn't. So they're looking at House Bill 4145 right now in Senate Finance. You know, I can tell you that the conference committee is up there meeting. There's three members from the House. It's Delegate Espinoza and Delegate Anderson, as well as Delegate Brent Boggs from the Democrats. In the Senate, on the Republican majority, you've got Craig Blair, the finance chair, as well as Majority Leader Ryan Ferns. As a Democrat, you've got Bob Plymouth. So up there right now, they're hashing out that bill. They have a deadline. It's 72 hours. Normally, and I think most people that have covered a legislature can attest to this, conference committees usually spring up on the final night of session because there's this added idea of pressure that it pushes things and it moves things along. So this conference committee springing up right now, even though there is that 72-hour deadline, which would be tomorrow evening, it's kind of up in the air where this goes. One of the things I can tell you, as they're up there meeting, counties across the state are calling off school for tomorrow. So, you know, at least in their mind, they're not expecting a resolution to this. And maybe even if they are, they're expecting a cooling off that we were supposed to see last week. So they're up there hashing out things right now. One of the things I can tell you from that committee meeting is that Senator Craig Blair has been asking a lot of these revenue estimates, the adjustments of Chief of Staff Mike Hall. He's extremely suspect of that. So we're hearing the folks on that conference committee asking of revenue, Department of Revenue, and the Budget Office, as well as Chief of Staff Mike Hall, a lot of questions. So,
And you had mentioned Senator Blair, who did get up and speak in the Senate chamber today, talking about the conference committee and the finance committee's meeting today. So let's take a listen to what he had to say.
3 o'clock, your finance committee will consider the budget for a second time. And we're going to work through it, and we're going to finish that up today. I don't care if it's at midnight. The 4% pay raise, with at least $38 million of money going to PEIA. I would make the argument, Mr. President, I'd take the 4-0 and making sure PEIA is funded properly than the 5%. This is exactly why I voted for it. Because, first of all, making sure that PEIA doesn't have increases out into the future and it's going into the stabilization fund, it's non-taxable. That is more money in the pocket than getting an extra 1%.
Now, Molly, while all of this stuff was going on in the Senate, there was something very important that happened in the House today, too, wasn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. There will be a ballot referendum this November. What it would do is essentially effectively ban the constitutional right to, or end the constitutional right to have an abortion in the state of West Virginia. This was really heavily discussed today in the House, very, very emotional, a lot of really emotional accounts from lawmakers just describing where they stood on this issue. I think Dave, you might be able to chime in a little bit on this as well.
Right.
Well, let's actually take a listen to some of the arguments since you just now mentioned it. Let's go to some of the arguments in the House right now.
Yeah.
Senate Joint Resolution 12 would reverse both parts of that decision. The title says it all. No constitutional right to abortion. The extra protections that are contained in our state constitution would disappear, and the state would be once again allowed to discriminate against poor women. The big question we do not know the answer to is what will happen if this amendment passes and Roe v. Wade is reversed.
I've heard so many things about our rights. Our constitutional rights. Don't you touch my Second Amendment. Don't you dare. Don't you dare touch my First Amendment. I have free speech. I have free religion. Well, we got a 14th Amendment that has, we have a right to privacy. Do we want to give that up too? Now, this isn't touching the 14th Amendment. You don't have to go there with me. I understand that. But we do have a right to privacy, everyone in this country. And we're stepping over a boundary here.
I would suggest that every member of this body look at the facts. Don't let your judgment be clouded by emotion or personal beliefs, but look at the facts. All this is going to do is it is going to permit every West Virginian in this state to decide what we are going to do with their tax dollars and whether they believe the people of West Virginia should obtain a constitutional right to abortion in this state, in this state alone.
There have been, best case scenario, 35,000 abortions since the Supreme Court declared this statute unconstitutional. 35,000 abortions. Now, some of those may have been as a result of rape or incest. Some of those may have been to save the life of the mother, but I suggest to you that not all of them were, that there are young lives that were terminated because somebody was upset that they got pregnant. Perhaps it was the inconvenience triggered their emotional upset. And that's what we're really talking about here.
Now, Molly, what was the vote breakdown on that?
Yeah, it passed 73-25. There were two delegates who did not vote.
All right. Well, thank you both so much for being here. Again, we have Molly Bourne and Dave Mistich.
Thanks.
Next, while teacher pay raises and a fix for PEIA have been center stage, scores of other bills have been making their way through the process, while others have stalled. Tonight, Liz McCormick updates us on more than a dozen significant bills that we've been following closely.
We first jump into one of the biggest and most talked about bills, Senate Bill 284, making community and technical colleges free or more affordable for in-state students after all other forms of financial aid is exhausted. This bill has been a priority for both Governor Jim Justice and Senate President Mitch Carmichael. Both called it a necessity for workforce improvement and economic diversification. And while the bill has support across the board, it hasn't seen movement in a while. It's been more than a month since it passed out of the Senate and was double referenced to both the House Education and House Finance Committees. With a teachers and school personnel pay raise and funding for PEIA now priorities, further consideration is doubtful. It has not yet been put on the House Education agenda. Next, Senate Bill 270 stirred up a lot of criticism. This bill would allow for the logging of timber in state parks. Logging is already permitted in state forests, but not state parks. After significant public outcry, this bill is effectively dead. It never made it out of the Senate before crossover day. House Bill 4298, known as the Campus Self-Defense Act, would allow individuals with concealed gun permits to carry their concealed weapons onto college campuses. Not a single West Virginia college or university supported the bill. The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission spoke against it, and it never made it out of the House before crossover day, so it is effectively off the table this session. House Bill 4187, the Business Liability Protection Act, also known as the Parking Lot Gun Bill, would allow employees who work for a business that does not allow guns on their property to keep guns for which they have permits inside their vehicles on business-owned parking lots. This bill passed out of the House at the end of February and was referenced to the Senate Judiciary Committee, but hasn't made it onto the agenda yet. Senate Bill 341, known as the West Virginia Appellate Reorganization Act of 2018, would create a new Intermediate Court of Appeals. In a fiscal note provided by the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals, it is estimated to cost taxpayers nearly $12 million in its first year. The bill passed the Senate and was sent to the House in mid-February, but was double referenced to two House committees and hasn't seen movement since. Senate Joint Resolution 3, which creates a judicial budget oversight amendment, would amend the West Virginia Constitution to allow the legislature the authority to reduce items in the budget related to the judiciary, but only if it is approved by West Virginia voters in the upcoming general election in November. This resolution is still moving. After passing the Senate, it was on the House Judiciary agenda over the weekend. Senators passed the much-debated co-tenancy bill, House Bill 4268, on Saturday. It allows oil and gas companies to drill on private property if they get permission from 75% of the landowners. The bill will head to the governor once the House approves a title amendment offered by the Senate. House Bill 4001 would create workforce requirements for some recipients of food benefits through the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Under the bill, able-bodied adults between the ages of 18 and 49 who do not have dependents and who are receiving SNAP benefits would be required to document 20 hours of work, workforce training, or volunteerism per week. After a public hearing where dozens spoke against the bill, it passed the House fairly quickly, but not without floor debate. But House Bill 4001 has not yet been taken up in the Senate. It was referenced to that chamber's Health and Human Resources Committee on February 21st, but hasn't yet been put on the agenda. Other issues we've been following this session, such as Senate Bill 273, creates the Opioid Reduction Act. It was on first reading in the House today. This bill would place limits on the initial prescribing of opioid medications. The Senate amended the bill to preserve the practitioner's decision-making authority in determining medically appropriate care. The legislation also requires the State Board of Pharmacy to identify doctors and other healthcare professionals that prescribe excessive quantities of pain pills and refer their names to medical licensing boards for possible discipline. The action of the Senate Bill 465 would require a person who learns of child sexual abuse to report it within 24 hours to both state police and to the State Department of Health and Human Resources. It was on first reading in the House today. House Bill 2655 establishes cyberbullying as a misdemeanor under state law. A person who violates the law could see a year in jail, a $500 fine, or both. This bill passed out of the House and was communicated to the Senate Judiciary Committee at the beginning of February, but hasn't seen movement since. House Bill 4478 is on the move. It's known as the Shared Table Bill. It will allow public schools to distribute excess food to students. It passed the House and was on second reading in the Senate today. and signed by the governor at the end of January, was Senate Bill 263, eliminating the film tax credit. For the legislature today, I'm Liz McCormick at the Capitol.
And we'll continue to follow all the activity here at the Capitol as we enter this final week of session. You can join the floor sessions live on the West Virginia Channel every morning starting at 11 a.m. And then again, it's all repeated for our evening viewers starting at 7:30. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow night at 6. I'm Andrea Lanham for the Legislature Today. For everyone at West Virginia Public Broadcasting, thanks for joining us and have a great evening.